turn in your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 9. Keep your Bibles open generally on preaching rather than in Sunday school. I like to take a text and preach in that text like we did this morning. However, for this particular study, we're going to have to actually look in the Bible at some passages to completely understand the topic that we're studying tonight. Luke chapter 9. Our text is found in verse 41. Let me begin with you at verse 37 so you have an idea what's going on. Jesus Christ, Peter, James, and John have been on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now it is the next day, verse 37. It came to pass that on the next day when they were come down from the hill, much people met him, and behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus, verse 41, answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. Now, the rest of the story goes on that Jesus Christ cast out the devil and then instructs his disciples when they ask him why we couldn't do it. This kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. So you're familiar with the passage. But notice what he says to the people that are there when this devil has been plaguing this boy. Oh, faithless, listen, and perverse generation. Tonight what we want to talk about is a perverse generation. That's what we're going to talk about. Perverse generation. Jesus Christ, during his earthly ministry, was ministering to a perverse generation. Now you've heard the word. You may have heard it used in this way, pervert or perverted. But the word means something. It has a definition. And we want to understand the definition because it will help us to understand what goes wrong in a perverse generation. Perverse, that last part of the word, is to turn, and the first part is to turn thoroughly. So perverse is turned away from what is right or good. In other words, something that is corrupted. Okay? Perverse also is obstinate in opposing what is right, reasonable, or accepted. So here's something that's right, here's something that's reasonable, here's something that is accepted, and someone who is perverse is obstinate in opposition to that thing that is right, reasonable, or accepted. To pervert something is to twist it, or to twist the meaning or the sense of it, so that it's said this way, but a person who takes that, twists it so it comes out to mean something other than what was said. Or to pervert something is to turn it aside or turn the person aside or away from what is good or morally right. So it's a turning away. In other words, in order to be perverse, there has to be a standard. In order to be perverse, there has to be something that is considered right, or something that is considered acceptable, or something that is considered moral, and then the thing that turns away from it is the thing that is perverted. Right? Okay. Look with me. Well, you don't have to look with me. I'll just tell you. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, we read about the Song of Moses. The Song of Moses was a testimony to Israel. It's a song that he wrote back there when the Jews were in the wilderness, but it's a song that survives all the way to the point where saints are gathered in heaven singing the Song of the Lamb and the Song of Moses in Revelation chapter 15. All right, so it is a song that goes over many ages, and it's a testimony primarily to Israel and their relationship with the Lord and their relationship with the world. And in verse 5 of that song, the Bible says they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. So something there in Deuteronomy 32 in the Song of Moses prophesies a perverse generation, and Jesus is ministering to one of those perverse generations. Now, what would characterize, so we get sort of a view of it, what would characterize a perverted generation like the one we live in? What would characterize that? What would you see going on in a generation that is now perverse? And I'll give you four common things that you see now that are part of this generation, that are accepted now in this generation, that are not accepted with God. For instance, as an example, science is perverted. All right, science, we are warned in 1 Timothy to beware of science, falsely so-called. Science, in order to be science, has to be demonstrated or tested in its hypothesis. But there's a lot of science that is being passed off as tested, and it's nothing more than a theory. And the theory even is bad. All right, science perverted. Our origin now is considered to be natural, not supernatural. That we exist here through the science of natural processes, not the supernatural work of a creating God. All right, look with me in Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29, and look at verse 16. We're going to actually see the things testified in the Bible that are going on in our generation. All right, we want verse 16, Isaiah chapter 29, we want verse 16, but notice verse 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? Verse 16. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? That's exactly the view of evolutionary science today. He made me not. There is not an intelligent being. They say he had no understanding. There's not an intelligent design, that it was chaotic and random. And that is right. It's right there in the Bible. And there's the question that is raised. All right, so in our generation, one of the things that would indicate the perversion of the generation is science is perverted and the origin of man is questioned now, that we arrived here naturally, not supernaturally. I'll tell you something else that you see in a perverted generation. The law is perverted. The law is perverted. Today, the perpetrator is now the victim, and the authority is now the criminal. That's the generation in which you live. In order to see this in the Bible, you'll have to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. And the first place I'd like you to go is Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. In other words, the Bible has established a standard of authority, and you can examine your society in the light of the Scripture. Notice in Proverbs chapter 18, in verse 5, Solomon says this, "It is not good to accept the person of the wicked to overthrow the righteous in judgment." But now this is a common practice. And unfortunately, it has been left to the media to pass the judgment rather than the court and the jury. The decision is made once it appears right in the news. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Look again in Proverbs chapter 28, another commentary on this problem of the perversion of the law. Many times now, the people that want to move society in a certain direction and have forsaken the law to do it will magnify the wicked in order to pass their change of legislation. So Proverbs chapter 28, look at verse 4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. And now the wicked is the reason for making the change in legislation that further perverts the society. There it is in the scripture. All right. So in a perverted generation like ours, you'll see science is perverted, the law is perverted, gender is perverted. Right? The gender of biological males and females is no longer they're no longer just two. Now the gender is what they profess it to be rather than what it obviously is. Right? Yeah, okay. Look in Romans chapter 9, verse 20. Romans chapter 9, verse 20. I've heard this numerous times, what you're going to read here. All right? So you're dealing with a society now that doesn't believe that they were designed intelligently, right? That there's not a creator. It's all random. However, when it comes to this question of gender, here's what they'll say. This is the way that I was, what's the next word? Made. That's what this is the way I was made. Well, if you don't have a creator, then you weren't made that way. You just showed up that way, right? But when it comes to justifying this, this is the way that I was made. Romans chapter 9, look at verse 20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? You know, this is this question is the question that Jackie Hill Perry asked of the Lord in the book that she wrote called Gay Girl, Good God. It's a fabulous story and testimony of how the Lord literally saved her. But she said this, if God is good and God made male and female, why did he make me like this? Romans 9:20. Gender confusion. The subject of gender is perverted. The law is perverted. Science is perverted. The family is perverted. All right, so in God's design, what do you have? You have the husband, head of the wife, right? Parents over the children. Children obey, right? So you have an order there. God, Christ, husband, wife, children. Look in Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. We're just studying the Bible, just seeing that God beforehand anticipated, obviously, what kind of thing we're dealing with today and is contained in the scripture information to help you get light on the situation in which you and I find ourselves. Isaiah chapter 3, look at verse 12. Now this is a prophecy concerning Israel. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The family's flipped. Children are their oppressors, women rule over them. You know, I'm sure most of you are this way. You don't watch TV, or not much anyway. But if you do happen to see something, or if you're in an area where it's on and you happen to watch, isn't it interesting now the man is always a whatever. I don't even know what to call that kind of man, but that's what he is. He's certainly not the head of his household. We giggled when Ann and I were on a train one night with our kids, and we were going from Budapest in Hungary to Zurich in Switzerland. We had to go through the Austrian border, and the engineer told us on the train, now they're going to stop us around midnight, and they'll come into your berth, and they want to examine your passports, and even though we're in the EU and everything's open, this is just a matter of protocol. This is how they do it, so I want you to be aware of it. So sure enough, at midnight, the train stopped, and we were boarded. And the Border Patrol came on board, customs. They came into our berth. They saw the passports for the children. Yeah, asleep, halfway. And then they took my passport and they said, "Oh, head of household." I was like, "These guys got it." And then they took my wife's passport and said, "The boss." They got it. Milton, I asked you to pray. I didn't ask you to comment. Yeah. So there it is. You know, in the Bible, you see these things are flipped in a generation, and you're living in a generation like this. Now we could go on and comment about other areas, but do you see the trend? Yeah, you see it. You know, Romans 1, a great example of what's going on in the universities now, right? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and now they're worshiping the creature rather than the creator. And on it goes, on it goes. So that's what happens. Now, when you see those kinds of things happening, what really gets bad is that not only is the society perverted, and it's sort of understandable, it's not unique to us. Obviously, God would not have sent Noah's flood if there weren't problems in that society. Obviously, Sodom and Gomorrah would not have been destroyed the way they were if there weren't problems in that society. So it's not unique to us, and it's always been going on. But I'll tell you where it really gets bad is when, in addition to the generation being perverted, the words of God are perverted. Now you got a problem, a bad, bad problem. And do you know, the Pharisees in Jesus' day perverted the words of God. Over and over, Jesus Christ had to confront them about changing the words of God, or really, literally making the words of God of none effect by their tradition. Remember the washing of hands and certain way of washing cups and platters? That suddenly became more important, right, than the defiled heart that was on the inside. And so, you know, Jesus had to correct them on that. The family lives were getting messed up, and they said, "Well, your kids now can give you something called Korban, and they're no longer obligated to do anything for you," even though that's what the law said they were supposed to do. They were relieved of their responsibility to obey if they paid you off and left the house. And on it went with the Pharisees. And they did that in order to create their own religion and then to justify their own self-righteousness. That's why they did it. All right, so notice with me in Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. In a perverted generation, when you have that and a perversion of the words of God, you get some real problems here. Jeremiah chapter 23. Okay. And look with me at verse 36. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 36. "And the burden of the Lord shall you mention no more." I know we're in the middle of a context, but in this verse is contained what we're talking about, the perversion of the words of God. So he says, "And the burden of the Lord shall you mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For you have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God." You know, one of the great tragedies in modern English Bible translations, and there are hundreds of them now, is that you don't have a standard. That's the problem. You don't have a standard. You know, when some people ask me about the King James Bible and my belief in the King James Bible, you know, I can talk knowledgeably, because I've studied it and then other things about it. Obviously, I'll say that having examined it internally from the first verse to the last verse, there are no errors or contradictions in it. That's an amazing thing. The other thing is that scientifically and historically and every other way, It is accurate 100%. It's right in every capacity. Yeah. So I read this and I say, okay. So if it, you know, we have a saying, when you're common man, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. All right. So now we're going to retranslate this to make it easier to understand. But understanding comes from the Lord. right? So I was talking to Willie Jaime. We did Chris's funeral yesterday. He's 82 years old. He never learned to read. He didn't go to school. Okay, but I can show you in his Bible, I have a picture of it on my phone, where when he got on his knees and asked God to help him to be able to understand what was in this book, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 10, he has it underlined there. He said, I got it, and I began to read it, and God taught me to read in this Bible. And we're sitting on the bed in the hospital when Chris was in the recliner not long before she passed, just a few weeks beforehand. And so we visited with her, and she was nodding off a little bit. He said, Brother Weller, I want to tell you something that God has done for me. When I read the Bible, I understand what I'm reading. All right, this is a man that never learned to read in his principal languages, Spanish, not English. But, you know, I tell you that story simply to tell you, the Holy Spirit will give understanding to people who believe what they have are God's words. And I'm not ashamed to say and stand by it, I believe that these are the words of God. Okay, so there are a lot of other discussions people want to have. But when you have something like this, you know what you have? You have authority. You know what you have? You have the standard. By this you can judge whether a thing is right or whether it's not right, whether it's accurate or it's not accurate, whether it's true or it's not true, whether it's acceptable or it's unacceptable, whether it's moral or immoral, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. In other words, once you have a standard in the Word of God, then you can make a judgment whether something is perverted or whether the thing is right. And in a perverse generation, when the words of God are perverse, you don't know where you are. And that's what, so you see chaos in the churches, you see chaos in the schools, you see chaos in the streets, you see chaos in the courthouse. You know what? There is no absolute authority in government, in the home, or in the churches, in the generation that gets perverted. Do you see it? And we live in that generation. And like I said, it's not unique to this generation. Obviously, it's been going on, but it hasn't always been like it is now in our day. And it's chaotic. It's chaotic. I was just talking to a neighbor of mine. He was mowing the grass for down the street from us, and I love to talk with him. He's a good Bible-believing Christian man. We're going on, and he goes, but they go to. Down there on that side of town where we live, they go to a Methodist church because they always have. And he's very distressed now about what's going on there. And he said, what do you do when they approve openly homosexual pastors to pastor flocks? How do you even get there with a Bible like this? You know how you do that? In a perverse generation. That's how you get there. And suddenly the perversion is right and the authority is wrong. It flips. It flips absolutely on its head. What permeates the society that gets like this is this. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 19, verse 14. Here's what happens. You see it. It's in the scripture. You see it. It lives next door to you or wherever. It's in your workplace or wherever. It's on your television, wherever you see it. But here's what happens in the society. It's something that permeates the society, and this is it. Now, I realize this is written to Egypt or about Egypt. It's written to Israel about Egypt. But I'll tell you something. Egypt is a picture of the world, and America is a very good example of that. All right. Isaiah 19, 14 is the one we want, but we're going to begin with verse 11 so we have some context. Surely the princes of Zoan are fools. And you know, you hear people talking about people in our country that occupy the political offices, and this is what they say about them. They're fools. And you say, oh, you know, wonder why, and I mentioned to you this morning, we have to be careful as Christians to speak evil of no man so we don't rail on those who are in authority. We pray for those that are in authority. But you look at decisions they're making and you're thinking, this seems to be so foolish. Well, the princes of Zoan are fools. The council of the wise counselors of Pharaoh has become brutish. How say you unto Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of the ancient kings. Where are they? Where are thy wise men? And let them tell thee now, and let them know what the Lord of hosts hath purposed upon Egypt. The princes of Zoan are become fools. The princes of Noph are deceived. They have also seduced Egypt, even they that are the stay of the tribes thereof. Now look, the Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. And when I look at some of the decisions that are made, like in our economy, as an example, it's just like drunks are making decisions about what to do with all this. Is that not correct? And you look at that, you read it, you see it in the news, and you're like, what has happened to the mind? I'll tell you what's happened. There is a perverse spirit that has been mingled into the people. And you know something? When the spirit is perverse, many horrible, wicked things occur. Bad. That's what's going on, I believe, in our country. I would say really over the world. I don't want to just isolate our country, but I say our country because this is where we live. And this is where your children and we, this is what we're exposed to. All right, so the effect is this. And this is where we're going. We can do this lead up to this point. You live in this world where there is perversion at every level, including the spiritual, a perverse spirit. All right. So we have to be exceedingly careful as God's people, and our children have to be exceedingly careful, and we have to be careful with our children, because nearly everything you're involved with that's not Bible and church has an element of perversion in it. Like media, like professors, like podcasts, like videos, like conversations, like emails, like books. You get exposed and that stuff gets in your heart. You know what it does to your spirit? The same thing it did to society. It can pervert you. So you're doing something, you or your children might be doing something. You say, this is harmless. It doesn't have the appearance. But if it has that bad spirit associated with it, it doesn't lead to good. And you can be sure it doesn't sound very much like what you're hearing in here. So here's where the danger comes. You have these spiritual influences out there, and you have these things that we've talked about that are going on around us that have this perversion. So when somebody gets exposed, we get exposed to that kind of spirit and that kind of perversion, it gets down into the heart. That's where it settles in. And you know something, because it comes in through exposure to society, and because it comes in through the spirit, it's subtle, it's gradual, and it begins to take hold in the heart. It's not apparent at first. Like, for instance, at first, if you see a child and they have a little account there and they're doing a little social media, and at first they're just talking to their friends, you think it's innocuous, it's not doing anything, but there's a spirit associated with it. That's not like God's Spirit. And then a little more exposure, a little bit more like that, and all of a sudden a little rebellion, and then a little bit more, and then all of a sudden perversion. You think, how did my kid 2 years, 3 years down the road, how did my kid turn out like this? How is this child, you know, sexually perverted or mentally perverted or spiritually perverted? How did this child who once quoted scripture in vacation Bible school now say he doesn't even believe Jesus Christ exists? How did that happen? It didn't happen overnight. It happened gradually by continual exposure to things that are perverted in a perverted generation. And it leads to a perverse heart. Proverbs chapter 12, look at verse 8. You see, you have two kinds of people here, and often the Proverbs are contrasting in one verse. Something looks this way or it looks that way, and they're contrasted with each other. Here's a good example. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom. Stop right there. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The person starts out fearing God. That's the spirit of this book. If you look at the fear of God, it goes cover to cover in this book. So that's the beginning of knowledge. That's the beginning of wisdom. So a man that now has the wisdom that cometh from above, that's pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality, without hypocrisy, full of good fruits, that wisdom that comes from above, when a man has that and he lives by it and speaks it, or a woman has that and lives by it and speaks it, people say a man should be commended according to his wisdom, because they recognize the soundness of the wisdom that came from God and God's words, right? But look at the contrast. But he that is of a, what kind of heart? Perverse heart shall be despised. So what happens is that stuff that's out there comes in spiritually and affects the heart. Once it does, the heart goes perverse. And when the heart goes perverse, then that person is going to go off the rails of righteousness and integrity and truth and holiness and purity. They're going wherever that perversion will take them. See? Sometimes people say, well, they're not looking at that. Now, that would be really bad, but they're looking at a lot of other things that lead, that are not exactly right. You know, once the heart is perverted, then two things will happen. Two things will happen. The way will get perverted and the tongue will get perverted. Look with me in Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. This is Balaam. Balaam, what a character.
I won't say anything but what the Lord tells me to say.
Okay. Then why'd you teach him how to eat things sacrificed to idols and commit fornication? Because he wanted that honor and he wanted that money. Numbers chapter 22. Verse 32. When Balaam went before the Lord, when the men from Balak first approached him, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, don't go with those men and don't curse those people. So he came back and said, the Lord's not going to let me go. So the men went back and Balak said, well, we'll just offer him more money and higher position. And he sent better men, more honorable than the first. And they went over there and said, Balak says he's not taking no for an answer. Balaam says, well, let me go talk to the Lord again. Why do you need to talk to the Lord again? He already gave you the answer. Well, let me go talk to the Lord again and see what he has to say. And he says, if they come and call for you, then go with them. Huh. He didn't wait for that, man. Next morning, he saddled up and out of town he rode. And the angel of the Lord stopped him. And here's what he said. Verse 32, the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee because thy way is perverse before me. What happens when it gets in the spirit and then it gets in the heart, you are now not going in the way of the Lord. Man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Not if you're going in a perverse way. Now you're going the way you want to go, and the way you're going is away from the Lord. It is away from what's moral, what's acceptable, what's right, and what's good. It's a corrupt way. And thank God here, the angel of the Lord stopped him. You know what happens to other people? They don't get stopped. And they should. Come in there and stop and say, your way is perverse before me. Now, at that point, Balaam has to make a decision. What am I going to do here? Well, the Lord said, you can go, but you only tell him what I say. And three prophecies he told him, only what the Lord said. And Balak said, well, get out of here, because all you're doing is blessing these people when I wanted you to curse them. The Bible tells you later, Balaam did want to curse them. But every time God overrode and he came out with a blessing instead of a curse. So when it was all over and he got ready to go, because Balak was sending him home, he said, by the way, if you'll invite these guys to an orgy, you won't have any more problems with them because God will kill them. That's Balaam. You know how he gave that counsel of Balaam? Because he was perverted. That's how he did it. And you see, the problem is that once you get off course like that, the Bible says, he that perverteth his ways shall be known. At first, people don't know you're off track, but you can't hide that forever, because after you become perverted, it becomes evident to everybody else that knows you, this guy's way off track somehow. And I don't need to describe the numbers of ways that can happen, okay? You no longer believe the Bible. You no longer go to church. You might be into some horrible sin. You might be into some terrible philosophy. You might have even turned your back on God himself. And it comes out in the time. It's like, whoops, what happened there? The other is a perverse tongue, a perverse way and a perverse tongue. Proverbs 15:4. And you'll see the connection back to that perverse spirit again in this passage. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. Verse 3 is the verse we want to start, and then we'll go to verse 4, and you'll see it. In other words, once it's down in the heart, it'll either come out of your mouth or come out of your foot. It's what you do or what you say, it's going to be obvious that you've gone off track. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach where? In the spirit. See it? It's a breach in the spirit. And what happens is you start talking like a fool. You're not talking wisdom anymore. What's coming out is foolishness. What's coming out is worldliness. What's coming out is sin. What's coming out is perversion. You see it? Jesus Christ knew that he was in a wicked and perverse generation, because everything they said about him was off. The publicans, the harlots, the ones that he was dealing with, you know what they looked at it, they said, wait a minute, this is the Messiah, the woman at the well, married 5 times, living with a man. And he told her, and she goes, this has to be the Messiah. Because we know that when Messiah cometh, he'll tell us all things. This is the guy. The Pharisees, that's not the Messiah, that's a devil. Totally perverted. Totally flipped. We got to kill this guy. Totally flipped. Absolutely flipped. You could tell it by what they said, and you could tell it by what they did. You see? So it comes out that way. It comes out that way. Well, so you've had a pretty good Bible study, I think, at this point, to show you how things go off. So with children, with ourselves, hey, this is not just a problem with kids, but we're talking about how do people get off so track like that? What can we do to prevent it? You got to be sure that any we have separation as Christians. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. You have to be careful with what you watch on television, what you listen to on the radio, what you search on the internet, what you read in a book, what you read in literature, what kind of conversations you have. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. And if you know what he said? Go from the presence of a fool when you perceive not in him the lips of the... Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of... Huh? Knowledge. That's it. You guys say, sorry, you're talking like a fool. If I hang around you long enough, I'm going to start acting like a fool. I don't want anything to do with you. See, you got to police that. Now, children don't know how to do that. A lot of adults don't know how to do that, because they're like, oh, I don't care. I can handle this. You can't handle it. Once it gets into the heart and your spirit, it will affect the way you go, and it will affect the things you talk about. You spend a good time in that book and not time in those worldly influences, and the next thing you know, you're talking about the Lord, and people around you are starting to hear about the Lord. Maybe even somebody will get saved. But otherwise, you just talk foolishness like the rest of the fools. They call them talking heads. and that's about all there is. You understand You have to police yourself, but your children don't know how to do that well. So you have to, and you got to be careful who their friends are and what kinds of conversations they're having and what the neighborhood kid down the road is doing and influencing and what kind of things they may see. And a cell phone, man, most people I know that are adults don't know how to keep themselves out of trouble with a cell phone. How in the world is a 12-year-old kid going to do that? Seriously. So I'm not saying you put them in a straitjacket and then one day you turn them out into the world and hope they make it. They won't. But you got to be careful that they don't get perverted by the things that are perverting everything else in society around them. And they have to know this book well enough so that when they see that, they can say, wait a minute, that's not lining up with the book. The book is right. That's not right. Instead of saying, well, that's right, the book doesn't sound right to me anymore. Of course it won't sound right to you if the heart and the spirit get perverted. This is right. It's always right. And that's why it's easier for me. So he says, you really believe that King James Bible? It's really easy for me. I got one authority. Open it up. If it says that, then that's what's right and everything else is wrong. And if I'm out of line with that, then I'm out of line and the book is right. But the book is never wrong. Ever. Why? Because it's the Word of God. And God's never wrong. It's always right. It's always right. What do you do? What do you do when you look at your life? We're going to finish here in just a few minutes, and when we do, if you're thinking about this, if you're meditating upon what you've heard tonight, you're going to go home, you look at yourself in the mirror, and you say, are you straight or are you a pervert? You got to talk to yourself the way the Bible does. Scare you to death to talk to yourself like that in front of God, wouldn't it? Sure wouldn't want anybody else to hear you talking like that. You look at yourself and say, where are you? And let God do a good search on you to see where you are. What would you find out if you found out that something of your way or something of your tongue was perverted? What would you do? I'll help you with that. Job 33. This is where we'll bring this message of information and instruction to something profitable for you. I guarantee you, if you will allow the Lord to search your heart and try your thoughts, He'll show you something in you that doesn't line up with the book. The way I know that's true is that we are, though we're saved, we're still sinners, and there's always something that we have to contend with. Okay? So if you will allow the Lord to do that in your life, He's going to show you something, and here's what you do when He does. Verse 27, Job 33, verse 27. He looketh upon men, this is God, He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Now, if you're saved here tonight, you're not going to the pit, not to hell. But I'm going to tell you something. Even as a saved person, if you get off track and start following perversion of this world, when you find yourself in the ditch that you end up in, you're going to say, look at the pit that I find myself in now. You say, how do you know that? Been down that road. Not proud of it, not boasting about it. I'm just telling you, I know where that road leads, and it's a pit. It is accurately and rightly described in the Bible. And if you want to stay out of that pit, you got to stay on the road of righteousness. You cannot veer into anything that is perverted. Let's look at it again. Verse 27, he looketh upon men, and at any say, I have sinned. You know, the hard thing for people to do when they've gone off like that is to admit that what they're doing is a sin. It is. They don't want to call it what God calls it. But he said, if they'll say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God. How often? Oftentimes with men. For what purpose? To bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to get back up on the high road. The Lord has the best tow truck for a wayward soul of anybody I know. He'll latch on you, and I mean, he's got more four-wheel, eight-wheel, whatever drive you need, pull you out of whatever kind of ditch you get into, and get you back on the road. Not only that, he's got a spray machine on it, filled with the blood of Jesus Christ. He'll spray all that nasty sin off of you and get your head straightened out when you get in this book and get under some good preaching. And after a while, people will see you, and they will never know you spent some time in that ditch. You won't smell like you've been there. You won't look like you've been there. You won't talk like you've been there. You'll look like a person being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You say, how in the world that is? You got away from being perverted. But you got to talk to the Lord straight, the way he talks to you. He's there oftentimes with men. That's what he's working to do, because he knows the kind of society in which we live. And he knows we need help. So I say to you, you ask, how in the world do the kids go off, and how do we keep that from happening? Don't let it happen to you so there's not a perverse spirit in the household. And then keep an eye on what the kids are doing real carefully, because you know what they're exposed to when they're not exposed to the kind of stuff we're talking about tonight. You can help them. You can help them. Listen, they still have to make choices. When you've done this, you've done about all you can do. They make choices that are contrary, and they go off in a wrong direction. That's on them. But you've been aware of what to do to keep them from going there. Give them the best shot that they got. Amen? All right. Father, we're very thankful tonight for an opportunity to be able to look at the things in the Scripture. My prayer tonight is that each of us will take and meditate upon what we've heard, and we'll actually put ourselves before you there and ask you to show us any way we may have perverted against that which was right, so that you can help us get these things to bring back our soul from the pit. That's what I pray, Father. I really, really do. Straighten out messes. Help us to get right and live right. We ask you to do all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen.